You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
There we go, Advent. Good morning. So many things to say in so little time. Special guest helping us today, Courtney. Thanks, Courtney, for joining us from our sister church, Lift Church, here in the GTA. So thanks. We appreciate you serving here. Number two thing on my mind before I get to what I really have to say today. Number two thing is last Sunday, Bert and I were in Vancouver. We were celebrating with our Every Nation Vancouver Church the 25th anniversary of that church. So it was wonderful to be with our good friends, Greg and Debbie Mitchell, who lead there, and the others on their team, and just see what God has done in and through them in 25 years. Bert was pretty instrumental in the start of that church, so it just feels like kind of one of our kids all grown up. So that was really fun. I did remember in about 24 hours a few things about Vancouver, and one is that the sun doesn't shine a whole lot in the winter. We did see the mountains just briefly one day in our 3 days there, or 4 days, or five, however long we were there. Which brings me to, I woke up this morning, I was drinking my coffee, I was reading the news. Yes, I was. I saw a headline that says, "Winter Blues Get You Down." This is CBC. Here's what experts would say. December is often a time of celebration and holidays, but for some it is also when the cold winter weather and lack of sunlight can darken your mood. And then it says it's estimated that about 15% of Canadians suffer from seasonal affective disorder. I think it's probably more than 15%, but just thinking about, you know, the weather and gloom, which got me to, this time of the year, man, it's fun. My kids are coming home. We're going to have fun together. My granddaughter, you know. And yet there's always things at this time. Maybe it's loved ones far away. Maybe you've lost somebody special in 2025. There's always just some things. Maybe it is just the weather and the gloom. And thankfully, starting today, every day there's going to be a bit more daylight, so spring is just around the corner. And then flip on the news. Man, it's been a heavy week, heavy 10 days with a mass shooting and just other loss and devastation. And even one of our sister churches in Rhode Island, the university that's really close to them, two students were murdered about a week ago. There's just some bad news and heaviness out there. And then it might be family things, it might be financial stress. Will I have a job next year? How am I doing in my exams? And also this morning, while I was drinking my coffee, Bert was asking me, I grew up in a very traditional church, so he's like, what's the difference between Advent hymns and Christmas carols? Because I had a little critique about what you should sing when. And I could only think of one Advent hymn off the top of my head, a super familiar one. But I said, you know, the thing about an Advent hymn is it expresses a longing. There's lament and some sadness and a reflection on the state of the world that we live in. Even hymns that were hundreds of years old, still that same sense of sadness for the broken world we live in, or sadness for the sin and brokenness in our own lives. So as we would sing an Advent hymn or song or carol, we'd be reminded of our longing for a Savior. So here we are, and it is the Sunday where we're going to talk about love. Now, here's the problem with love, and we all know this in the English language, because I really love Kawartha Dairy's ice cream, and I really love my cat, and I really love my granddaughter. And you know right away, and we can joke about this, but you know right away that I love my granddaughter more than Kawartha Dairy's ice cream. And so maybe some of love loses a little bit of its meaning to us. I love the Blue Jays, and I love my husband. So when we talk about love in a tired and anxious time, What are we looking for? You know, many Canadians right now, stress and anxiety and exhaustion and lack of daylight and snow way too early in Ontario and just trying to make it through to the end of the year and hope for bright days ahead. It's easy to be worn down, even sometimes lonely, even in the midst of family and friends. And so it seems fitting on this Sunday, where we focus on love, to focus how God meets us as comfort, as our comforter. A few weeks ago, I was actually listening to the book of Isaiah in the Bible, and Isaiah chapter 40 begins super simply. The prophet Isaiah says, "Comfort, comfort my people," says God. And I just kept rewinding and listening to that again because I thought, yes, that's what I'm longing for. In the midst of some darkness, in the midst of, I mean physical darkness because I don't like when the sun doesn't shine, but also the darkness that can inhabit our lives. I'm longing to be reminded of the comfort of the Lord. When we talk about love, what do we think about? Affection and kindness and generosity. But when life is heavy and hard, we long for the comforting arms of God to be around us. It reassures us, it steadies us, and we have that sense of God being with us and not leaving us. So we're going to talk about the good things, but first let's, in the book of Ecclesiastes is kind of a not very uplifting book sometimes. It talks about the brokenness and heaviness of the world, and here's what Ecclesiastes 4 says. "And I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter." What a sad place to be in life and in the world, to be without a comforter. But we're going to look today at our comforter. And we're going to look under four headings. We're going to look at comfort as God's promise to us, comfort as God's presence with us, comfort that is shared, and comfort as our future hope. So as I said, the book of Isaiah, we're going to start there. Comfort is God's promise. Isaiah, there's a lot of chapters in the book of Isaiah 66, and he speaks so much about the coming Messiah. He's speaking to a people who are in exile, and life is difficult. And he's speaking of the coming Messiah. And in that, from chapter 40 to 66, if you want to know, he actually uses comfort, the word comfort, or that idea of comfort, 13 times. And he begins with this. Isaiah 40, verse 1, "Comfort, comfort, my people," says your God. Later on, "Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people." Isaiah speaks to people who are worn down, who are exhausted, because of uncertainty, loss, and exile in their lives. They aren't even living in their own land. They've been displaced. And yet Isaiah paints a picture of a shepherd who gathers us into his arms and carries us close to his heart. A God who, when you're weary and you have no strength, he'll renew your strength. A God who would bear our pain and our weakness and our sin and sadness and sorrow. And even Isaiah paints this picture of a bruised reed or a wick that's just flickering. It says God will not break the bruised reed. If you feel today like you're that bruised reed, like I'm hanging on for dear life, or you're the flame of hope in your heart is just flickering, God says he won't put that out. He's going to sustain us. He brings us that comfort. For Isaiah and the people he was speaking to, it was just a promise to them. Oh, God was there and he watched them through things, but it was a promise, and it was a promise of the future Messiah, the coming Savior. He pointed forward, he promised, he spoke to them about something that was to come. We, see in the Gospels comfort as God's presence with us. The Gospels reveal God's comfort through the person of Jesus. The Gospels. The angel. We often sing about angels at Christmas. The angels appeared to the shepherds, and the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." In the midst of fear, the message of Christmas was good news that would cause joy for all people. Comfort was no longer just going to be a future hope, but it was arriving in a baby born in a manger. Matthew, quoting Isaiah, actually, in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew says this, the virgin, this is before Jesus was born, because it says the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That promise of comfort was a God whose plan was to be with us, to be at our side, by his Spirit to dwell in us. God didn't mean to comfort from afar. He meant to come and dwell with us. Jesus, how did he comfort people? Well, he drew near to the weary when he was living here. He drew near to the weary. He fed those who were hungry. He healed those who were sick and broken. He touched people who others wanted to avoid. He spoke peace into fear, and he invited the burdened to come to him and let him share that burden, carry our burdens for us. So we have Isaiah talking about a comforter that's to come, and then that comforter comes, Emmanuel, God with us. But then we're invited into something else. We, the church being the body, the hands and feet of Jesus, now here in this earth, in this place in our city, the church, comfort that is shared. After Jesus lived that life we could never have lived and died in our place and rose again from the dead. Later on, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to churches. We've got so many of his letters in the New Testament. One of them is a letter to the Corinthians. And Paul said this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Now pay attention. "Who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive." So there's the promise of a comforter. The comforter comes in Jesus, but it's not supposed to stop with me and you. We are supposed to be instruments of his comfort in the world around us. God, Emmanuel, his word, his promises, his Spirit. Jesus said when he was going to leave us, he was going to give us something better, and that was his very Spirit, the Holy Spirit that would dwell inside of us. Then from us, to reach out to others with that comfort, from us, to us, through us, to others. Today, which brings us to today, when people around us are lonely and tired and overwhelmed, what does comfort look like? Because it's really one thing to talk about something, and it's another thing to actually bring that, not just because I'm a nice person or you are, but because we have come to know and love the Comforter and know that the hope that he has given to us, the strength that he's given to us, we can actually give to others. What might it look like? It might just look like showing up this year, being with someone who maybe the challenges of life are weighing them down, slowing them down. Maybe a friend or family member who this Christmas, it's not a joyful or happy time, there's pain and sorrow. How can we be present and bring God's comfort? Being gentle with people who are fragile, expressing that kindness and love of God. I was thinking, you know, the church actually reflects the Messiah, the Christ, Emmanuel, when we are a community of comfort, when we embrace the comfort of God, when we bring it to one another in this community, but then when we take it beyond us to those around us, we actually reflect Jesus into this world. What does it look like this week to meet some practical needs? Maybe it's helping someone financially. Maybe it's a gift for a neighbor. Maybe it's shoveling somebody's snow. Maybe it's just bringing friendship and comfort, because that's our word, comfort. And then finally, one day, because comfort, ultimate comfort, is a future hope. We're all going to walk through life with struggles and with sadness and loss and sorrow and pain. And some of them are little and some of them are massive. But even the little ones can accumulate, right, and weigh us down, whether it's at Christmas and Advent or whether it's another time in our life. But, you know, the Advent season reminds us that there's a God who wants to be present with us, and he chose to come and dwell among us. He was promised through Isaiah. He came near in Jesus. He shares comfort with and through his people. And then one day, the Bible tells us at the end of the book of Revelation, a simple but a beautiful promise, one day, when we're beyond this life and into the next, that he, our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, will wipe away every tear from our eyes. So Advent, here we are. It reminds us actually of where we are in the story, that Christ has come. We say it every year as we light the candles, that Christ has come, that he is present in the world today, and that he will come again in glory. And he's present with us today, and he's present with us, his love demonstrated to us through the comfort of his Spirit and through the comfort of one another. But one day, we know that there will be no more pain and mourning and sorrow and loss. So, this Christmas season, be reminded and remind one another that God meets us with his love through his comfort. And let's be mindful to bring that love and comfort to others. Let's pray. God of all comfort, thank you for loving us enough to come near. Speak peace into our fears. Stay with us in our weakness. Make us people who carry your comfort to others. Through Jesus, our Emmanuel. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.